Episode 89. Hey kids, welcome to the Yellow Studio, Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome to another episode of Fula Network. We are at the website by the same name, by the way, BulaNetwork.com. We are about teaching, inspiring, and encouraging higher human performance in business. We do that in education as well, but that's over at LeaningTowardWisdom.com. Hope all is well in your world. I want to talk with you about failure, defeat, and rejection. Really uplifting topics, you know. If you're a person who is so disposed that you believe that everything should just be positive and rose-colored glasses should be kind of the eyewear of the masses, then, well, you may want to hit stop. No, you really don't. You don't want to hit stop. Well, you might, and if you do, that's okay. Come back next time, because I'm going to tell you that I believe defeat and rejection and failure are necessary components to confidence. I'm not saying they're guarantees, because it's possible for you to have defeat, failure, and rejection, and it's possible for those things to just it's possible to be just completely knocked out by them. Happens every day. But there are people who go on and achieve success, and more often than not, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who has achieved any kind of success who didn't suffer those things. And some people suffer those things just repeatedly. I mean, it's defeat after defeat after defeat after defeat. 86 years. 86 years for the Boston Red Sox finally won the series again. What was it, 2004? I'm not a big baseball fan, but I remember it being a long period of time. 86 years. How do you keep playing baseball for 86 years without winning the championship? Well, lots of teams. There are lots of teams that don't win championships. I mean, we understand it's reasonable. Only one team can. And come on, everybody can't win the championship every year. So what are they going to do? Quit? Not play? Well, you might think after 86 years that you'd... I mean, is it... Come on, Boston, isn't it time to just give up? Well, no, they didn't. Now, I'm not saying it should take you 86 years. It's kind of a dramatic way to make the point. Defeat and rejection and challenges and hurdles, and it happens even if you've got a multi-million dollar payroll, even if you're the Boston Red Sox. And you could name just about any other team. I mean, most teams have had some years that they've had to endure hard times. Here in Dallas, we have a number of them. Now, the Rangers, I mean, man alive, making it to the World Series last year, it was insane. Forget the fact that they lost. That didn't matter. Nobody expected them to even be in the hunt. Never have won it. I don't know how old that franchise is. It's, 20, 30 years old. Dallas Stars, 1999 Stanley Cup. I mean, it's been a drought ever since. The Dallas Cowboys, I don't know what year they won it. I'm a hockey guy. The Dallas Cowboys, it's been a decade plus. Defeat. Defeat, rejection, failure. It happens. So many people, so many entrepreneurs and so many would-be entrepreneurs just don't seem to be ready for it. They just seem to be listening to all the noise and all of the misinformation that's out there, believing things to be true that simply are not true. Just today, as I'm hitting the record button, it's May 12th, Thursday. And this morning news hit that Facebook had hired some PR firm to basically spread some misinformation about Google. That's the allegation. It appears to be true because the PR firm said, yeah, we kind of got talked into doing this and we really regret it. Well, of course they regret it. It blew up in everybody's face. Now, there's enough misinformation that goes on out in the world without people purposefully doing it. I think there's enough honest misinformation out there. There's misinformation about health kind of issues. There's misinformation about nutrition. There's misinformation in the political world. There's lots of misinformation in the financial or the investing world. There's misinformation in the scientific arena. Tons of misinformation in the educational fields. And lots and lots and lots and lots of it in the business world. Some of it is not intentional. So, come on, we have a hard enough time without you trying to fool us. But an awful lot of it is motivated by money. An awful lot of it is motivated because people have a vested interest to mislead you. People have a vested interest in deceiving you. There's something in it for them. Purportedly, if this allegation is true, well, Facebook, Google is not, they're not the friendliest competitors on the planet. So there's a vested interest for one to snipe at the other. Bernie Madoff, Enron, Hell South, how many other names do you want me to throw at you? I mean, these are all names that are synonymous with acts of deception, deceit. Either trying to manipulate stock prices, trying to manipulate investors. Money. There's an awful lot of that when it comes to business building as well. In the advice-giving business, in the helping business, when it comes to people that purport to be consultants and coaches and even information marketers, people who tell you because the internet marketing space is a perfect example. It's rife with deception. Why? Well, because it's a huge, huge business, because there are a lot of people who want to figure out how they can make some extra money or how they can make money online. Who else better to teach us than these people that supposedly are achieving great success online? They have huge followers and they sell multi-$1,000 information products, and they're bound to know what they're talking about. And many of them are charlatans. Lots and lots of them are con artists. They're good. They're good con artists, but they're con artists nonetheless. And so we listen to all this racket, and the racket convinces us, you know, this, we can do this. This isn't that hard. Now, there's a vast difference between the we can do this and this isn't hard. Yes, I believe that you can do it. But I also happen to know it's hard. And it's much harder than it looks. It's much harder than it sounds. Just take the fundamental piece of advice that you constantly hear. You need to start blogging. You need to build a blog. You need to have a place where you hang out, a place where people can find you, and start blogging. Don't worry about it being perfect. Just start putting up content. Put up great content. Now, define great content. Well, good luck. You're going to be hard pressed to find anybody that's going to gauge great content. And the reason is, well, it's totally subjective. I have read things that were produced by the so-called gurus, and these things get retweeted hundreds, if not thousands of times. They garner hundreds and hundreds of comments, and it's pure drivel. But the author's a popular guy, or she's a popular gal, and, you know, everybody just laps it up. Oh, it's great. It's wonderful. It's terrific. if Joe Blow had written it, nobody knows who Joe is, it wouldn't have gotten any attention. So it's kind of a little bit of that celebrity worship that we're all so fond of these days. I mean, come on, how else can you explain Lady Gaga? I mean, no offense, but this is not the most talented musical performer on the planet. Doesn't matter. She's crazy successful. So it's not about greatness necessarily. It's not about talent necessarily. And you get this piece of advice. Start a blog and write good stuff and don't worry about it being perfect and get it out there. And you know, now the key is traffic. The key is you need to build a list. So you want to get some email component and you want to capture email addresses because the money is in the list. So you want to build a list, and to build a list, you just want to get traffic. Oh, you don't know how to do that? Oh, well, here, for a few thousand dollars, I'll show you the tricks of how to get traffic. And the next thing you know, somebody's trying to convince you that, well, what you need to do is you need to submit articles to all these article directories. Have you ever gone to an article directory? Have you ever read, other than you just landing on it accidentally because of some Google thing that was, you know, maybe on page 16 of a Google search and you were just so committed to the search, you went that deep into it? No, because I'm going to tell you, it doesn't work. I've never met anybody who says it works, other than people who are selling things to try to teach you that that's what works. Because I've never met anybody that reads that stuff. I've written some stuff there. I've tried it. I'm not crazy. I'll test anything. But I'm going to tell you that the advice that you hear tends to be so vague, so generic, so nonspecific, or it tends to be things that, for the neophyte, it sounds reasonable and it sounds good. And by the time you've spent a year trying, they've got your money, they've moved on to the next thing, and you think, well, okay, I just couldn't figure it out. They're great and they're wonderful and their advice is sound, and so you think. Trust me, it's how it happens. You see it all the time. The danger of all of this is the danger of us just falling prey to what we want to see happen. We want to believe that the miserable job that we've got, indeed if we have a miserable job, or the misery that we're suffering because we don't have a job, that misery can be overcome by embracing what you love and going out there and, I mean, come on, how many $47 something, say it's an ebook, say it's a video, say it's an audio, but for 47 bucks, how many of those do you have to sell of whatever it might be to replace your $25 an hour job? Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, I can sell a $47 item and I basically got not much in it. I can pretty much sell one of those, and that's equivalent to a couple hours work at my old job or at my current job. And you start working those numbers, and of course now it never dawns on you that this is harder than it looks. It's harder than it sounds. And that's by design. Because if I tell you for $1,997, for $1,997, I'm going to enroll you in a course. I'm going to give you lifetime access to it. I'm going to show you how to build a business. It's going to be tough as nails. Most of you aren't going to do one thing that I teach. Most of you are never going to see this through to fruition. Most of you, probably 99% of you, are never going to make a dime, much less get your $1,997 back. Click that buy button. You ready to click that buy button now? No, that's, you know, well, we think, well, that'd be stupid marketing. Well, to be honest, but yeah, you're right. It would be stupid marketing. So instead it's, hey, let me show you this success story. And let me show you that success story. And of course, then the FCC comes crashing down and all that changes. And now they have to really talk in really vague, generalized terms. But they're smart enough to know that you hear what you want to hear and what you want to hear because you're desperate, because you're miserable. What you hear is, there are lots of people doing this. Lots and lots of people are doing this. You can do this too. It's not that hard. You go over to WordPress and you install, you get a blog, and don't worry about, it doesn't have to look pretty. Nobody, we've built websites and we've tested them. We've tried the pretty designs up against the basic bare bones designs. And guess what? The bare bone design, it does as well, if not better than the other designs. So don't waste your time with pretty. The world doesn't buy pretty. And just get the content out there. You know, make the content good, but it doesn't have to be perfect. Just get it up there and keep at it. And then do this and then do that and do this other. And a year later, you're $1,997 poorer and you've lost tons of time. And now you're convinced. You're convinced that it can be done. You're even still convinced that you can do it, but you're convinced that there's something you don't know. Enter another marketer. For $1,997, I'm going to show you what you don't know. Because I got a secret. I've got a secret, or I've got a formula. Well, we love secrets. We love formulas. Give me them. What's the formula? Give me the formula. I don't hear laughter. I don't hear laughter. Except in my own head. And you know why? Because I've talked to too many people, and that's their life. That's their life. And it just sickens me. And frankly, I'm pretty tired of it. I'm not disillusioned. I'm not fed up, and I'm not pessimistic. I think success is everywhere, and I think success can be had. And I think most people, I don't think you got to be a brainiac to pull it off. In fact, I rather think that if you are a brainiac, you might be at a disadvantage. I'll tell you exactly why I say that. I remember sitting in an economics class at LSU, and the professor informed everyone the lecture that day was to be, you know, how you could retire a millionaire. Well, sign us up. Big lecture hall, hundreds of kids in this class. It was one of those classes that usually, you know, you skipped. Not that day. Not with a lecture by that title. You kidding? It might have been one of the very first lessons I had in headline writing and how you can really, you know, bait and switch really works well. Well, it was bait and switch, and here was the bait and the switch. You can retire with $1 million. You just have to do some fundamental basic things. It doesn't matter what kind of job you get, because it really doesn't matter the income. What matters is how much you spend, because you're not going to spend any money. You're going to live a frugal life. You're going to get the cheapest place to live that you can live. It doesn't matter. It can be a van down by the river. Nobody cares. You're not going to buy a car. You're going to ride a bike or walk. You're never going to get married. And you're going to work for, it depends how much you make, but you're going to work for at least 30 years, maybe more. Okay, figure you get out of school and you're 21, 22, and you work for 30 years. Okay, well, you're not even 55, and you can retire, and you'll have at least $1 million in the bank. You will have lived 30 years in just sheer poverty, but you'll be a millionaire. No, there weren't a whole lot of kids that left that lecture going, man, this is great. This is terrific. Sign us up, man. We had no idea we could do that. We'll pay 30 year price to do that. No, it didn't happen that way. Yeah. We all felt duped. You kidding me? We all felt like, you know, this lying sack of, he was right, of course, but who wants that? Nobody. Yeah, there's a lesson in marketing. You know, give them what they want. Well, what you want is you want to hear that it's going to be easy. You want to hear that defeat is not, it's not going to, it's, trust me. Yeah, you're going to have some setbacks, but nah, you'll get through them. What about the days that you're so in a funk you don't want to get out of bed? Yeah, there's some of you that are in that shape. What about the times that you're, not only are you second-guessing yourself, but everybody that knows you is second-guessing you. Everybody's saying, you are out of your mind. What are you doing? You're kidding me. Then what? Now what do you do? Yeah, there's all these, there's this rejection, there's this defeat, there's, you know, there's all the heavy psychology that goes on in trying to make something happen and trying to make something work. And the truth of it is, it's a lot harder than it looks. It's a lot harder than it sounds. And if you're not ready for that, you'll be defeated permanently. That's what I'm hoping to help you avoid. But I understand. I get it. Believe me, I'm not going to make any kind of a, I'm not going to make any kind of a living telling people, okay, you might have to do this for, I don't know. I mean, you could go 3 years before you make a dollar. You still want to sign up? I mean, it's tantamount to the lecture the economics professor gave. You can have $1 million. It's going to cost you everything, and it's going to cost you 30 years. You want to start tomorrow? Well, no, wait a minute. There's got to be an easier way. Well, there are easier ways, but this is a surefire way. I can guarantee if you do this, it will work. Forget the FCC and all this other stuff. Just live a life of poverty. Get a job making any kind of money at all. And depending on the kind of money you make, then we'll just multiply this thing out. We'll calculate your overhead every year. We'll calculate how much you can save, how much you can bank every year, and we'll do the math, and however long that takes is however long it takes. But if you're making any money at all over a 30-year period, you can bank $1 million. Well, I know it poses all kinds of questions. Forget the quality of life that you're going to have. Forget the fact that you're going to be alone. You won't have any family because you never got married. You never had anybody in your life that you loved or that loved you back. And forget the fact that 30 years from now, $1 million, well, it's not going to be $1 million, not in today's money. Forget all of that. You still don't want to sign up. It's a slam dunk guarantee, and you still don't want to sign up. It's hard, man. You kidding? That's too high a price. There's the rub. What's the price you're willing to pay to make it? I continue to ask people that, and it's the question that people have a real difficult time with. What price are you willing to pay to make it? Because there's going to be a price. I don't know what it is. I can't see in the future. If I could, I wouldn't be doing podcasts. I'd be living on a mountaintop somewhere, you know, being the great guru that everybody traveled thousands of miles to visit and paid millions of dollars to get a piece of my mind. The fact is, I don't know. Not only do I not know for you, I don't know for me. I don't know what the price of success is. Over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, I've embarked on a really strong drive that I have. And the drive is to serve education, and the principle is very simple. Take 35 plus years in the business world, in building businesses, in managing people, in holding people accountable, in trying to build organizations that were effective and that could win in the market, and morph that knowledge in some meaningful way to serve education, primarily to serve public education. Does that sound like something that's doable? I think it is. I've had too many conversations. I'm firmly convinced that not only is there a meaningful business there, but there's meaningful information to be shared there. And for me, it's not a money grab. I mean, come on. Trust me, there's got to be an easier way to make a buck than that. I happen to believe that it's meaningful, worthwhile work. I happen to believe that it's high value work. Give me the ability to sell you something and have you go home and be tickle pink because I sold you model XYZ, or give me a child, give me a teacher who's teaching that child and let me make a meaningful difference in both of their lives. Give me door B, please, all day long. No offense, but I've been selling stuff and marketing stuff all my life. Yes, it's great, it's wonderful, it's cool. But in my world today, where I'm at in my place in life, it is so insignificant when it comes to my ability to sit across from a teacher and help a teacher, help an educator learn some things that the business world has taught me that he or she can take and embrace in their career. I'm driven to serve the people who serve the kids. That's a powerful driver for me. What's the price that I'm willing to pay to make that work? I don't know. I really don't. I'm not buffaloing you. I don't know. I know that I'm not even close to not doing it, though. I've known some bull riders in my life. I'm not a country guy, but I've known some guys that rode Brahma bulls. No, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I love sports, but that is one sport I don't understand at all. You just got to be a halfwit to do it. Incredibly athletic, strong as nails mentally, and many of them strong as nails physically. But of the handful of guys that I've known who've done that, at a professional level, I don't know any who haven't suffered injury. And I'll go you one better. I don't know any who haven't suffered serious injury. And still they ride. What's up with that? I mean, first time you get knocked off, I don't know, you know, what these beasts weigh. I mean, you're talking a ton, literally. You get knocked off, you're flat on your back, and all of a sudden a hoof lands right in the middle of your chest. Yeah, okay, yeah, you got a flak jacket on. I don't care what you got on. You got a stinking Brahma bull that's come down on your chest, and you're laid up in the hospital, and you get out, and in time the doctor releases you, and the next shot out of the barrel, you're wrapping this rope around your wrist, your hand again, to get on this thing. You're nuts. Well, you're either nuts or you love it. Maybe both. Oh, but Randy, they can win lots of money. Now, I'm not talking about guys that have won at the nationals level. I'm talking more local guys. Trust me. The money wouldn't pay for a single doctor visit, much less a hospital stay. They're not doing it for the money. They're doing it because they love it. Well, now what do they love about it? I guess that could vary. They at the very least, they love the thrill of it. You've seen these videos. I've never lived anywhere where, you know, big slopes, big ski slopes. I've never been snow skiing. I'm a hockey guy, but you see these downhill racers, and on occasion you see they lose an edge or something, and man, they go off, and you know, and they've got those little fences around, those safety kind of fences that catch these people. But okay, after you've done, you know, 18 somersaults and 4 cartwheels, and legs and arms have gone every which way that they're not supposed to go, and sometimes it's killed people. But if you're lucky enough that you survive that fall and you just break nearly every bone in your body, shut your mouth. If the next season, the next ski season, there they are. If they're badly hurt, maybe two seasons later, and there they are. And you're like, are they crazy? Come on, give it up. Why do they do that? I don't know. They must love it. They must love it. Oh, but there's huge money there. I mean, is there? Well, is it enough money worth your life? These guys that do this, these crazy skydiving things, and these guys that get in these flight suits, you know, they look like a flying squirrel, Rocky the flying squirrel. They jump off this mountaintop and they go hurling down this thing. They've got a parachute on, but they've got this flight suit and they're just going, you know, they're screaming past this mountain, and it's like they could just reach out and touch, and you're like, ugh. I mean, come on, there's no room for error here. You make a mistake here, you die. What are they doing? Well, there's big money. No. They must love it. I think you must love it too. There must be some component of what you do, what you choose to do, that you love. And the reason that I know that that's true is because your stick-to-itiveness and your determination and your willingness to get back up once you do get knocked down, and you will get knocked down, and you will get knocked down again. You will not get up. You will not get up unless you want to get up. You will not press ahead, and you will not forge forward unless you want to get up and you want to forge forward. And the money isn't going to much matter. The accolades and the praise and the recognition isn't much going to matter. You need to want to do it because you want to do it. I realize you got to make a living, and there's the hard part. I did episode number 5 over at Leaning Toward Wisdom, and it was about keeping the fire burning inside a kid. Is there a way that students can maintain whatever their desire might be? I used myself as a brief example. I used to draw a lot. I loved to draw cartoons, and I did it all through school. Through high school, it turned into kind of a doodling fascination as I got older. And I still doodle. I don't draw much anymore. And the reason I don't draw much anymore is because for me, it died. It died as a real realistic, creative juice kind of a thing. It probably died for me before I got to junior high. I still did it. But I never considered that I would do it, you know, that it would be what I would do for a living. And the main reason is I didn't know anybody who did that. Oh, yeah, I knew Charles Schulz did Peanuts, and I knew the names of some other cartoonists, but I didn't know who they were. I mean, these were people, yeah, they either lived back east or out west. They didn't live where I lived. I didn't know them. My buddies, their dads were, well, you know, if they were on the high end, their dads were doctors, maybe lawyers. But most of the dads were salespeople, business people, engineers maybe. I didn't know anybody that made a living drawing cartoons. And so very quickly, that flame went out for me. My argument is, if a teacher can help a kid, whether the kid wants to draw cartoons or whether the kid wants to work with math, if a teacher can help that child keep that flame burning, the longer you can keep the flame burning, the better. The longer that we can keep the flame of creativity and innovation and the art of what's possible, the longer we can keep that burning in the heart of our kids, my kids, your kids, the better we give them a chance to figure it out. And that's exactly how it is with your business. When it comes to rejection, when it comes to defeat, you can build on those things. You can propel yourself forward with those things, so long as you can keep the flame burning and you can keep sustaining yourself. Yes, financially, mainly mentally and psychologically, so that you can continue to press forward with the belief that you can do it. It's hard work. And there is no magic. The magic is just refusing to quit. And if you can keep the flame burning, if you can sustain yourself in every area of life, and I realize for many of you that means, number one, financially, which means if it needs to be a side project, let it be a side project. Don't quit your day job. If you're out of a day job, press on. You might have to deliver pizza. You might have to do any number of things to just get some cash, but keep hope alive. Keep that flame burning. And know that rejection and defeat and failure, it's part of the process. It's part of the process. And people that tell you it's not, they're lying to you. I just refuse to lie to you. You need to let it build your confidence. BulaNetwork.com is the website. I appreciate you listening. Subscribe to the podcast. You can go to iTunes, leave me a comment if you'd like. Join the list. You know, the money's in the list. I don't market a lot of stuff. In fact, I don't market much at all. You can visit the services pages if you want additional help from me. Till next time, I'll see you.